Shalom to all. Today's Avos Menachos Daf Samach Chalaf, and we're starting with a brand new Mishnah about a quarter of the way into the Amud. And today's Avos sponsor, Lili Nishmas, Marsh Mirim Sarabas Biyaka Moshe, Hernish, Amos should have an Aliyah. And we continue the topic from a previous Mishnah, Ilu Tu'unas Tanufa, Ve'in Tu'unas Hagasha. The following Menachos require Tanufa, waving about, but they do not need Hagasha, they don't need bringing close to the Mizbeach. So we have Loig Shem Shal Matsayer, Va'ashamai, the Loig of oil that a Matsayer brings, and his Asham as well, Va'abikurim Kidiv Riblez Ben Yaakov, Abikurim according to Riblez Ben Yaakov, Ve'imurei Shal Miyachid, Ve'chaz V'shay. And the murim, sacrificial parts, which is basically the intestines of a private shlomim that's brought by just a regular individual, and also the chazan shaykh of the shlomim, which is the chest and the thigh. Now the Mishnah says something a little bit cryptic, which the Gemara is going to explain. Echon anashim ve'echon nashim b'Yisrael is both men and women among Yidden, v'loy b'achirim, not with others. And lastly, shtei alechem, shnei kivsei atzeres, the shtei alechem and the two kvasim of shvuas, these two come together as well, as we already know. These also require tenufa, not hagasha. Now the Mishnah explains the last two that we just mentioned, ketzad. How does he do it? How does he do the tenufa of the shtei alechem and shnei kivsei atzeres? So nice and shtei alechem al gabe shnei kvasim. He puts the shtei alechem on top of the two kvasim. Umenich shtei yadav lamata. He puts his two hands underneath them. Mailchu mevi. He extends them outwards, brings them inwards. Malu mayrid. Lifts them up and brings them back down. Shnemar, because the pasuk says asher hunaf vasher huram. Now another din is tenufa ha'isav mizrach, waving them about, was allowed to be done in the mizrach towards the east in the mizbeach, which is closer to the entrance of the azara, whereas v'hagasha Myriv, Hagasha bring a mincha close to the Mizbeach, had to be done in the Myriv, in the west part of the Mizbeach, which is closer to the entrance of the Heichal, and also Tanufa is Kadmis Lagasha is anytime we have to do both the Tanufa and the Hagasha, so the Tanufa comes before the Hagasha. And in regards to what was this stated, so Mishnah continues explaining, this really also into the next category as well, Mincha So'aymer, Mincha Skenoiz, Tu'unais Hagashu Tanufa, Mincha So'aymer, which is brought on the second day of Pesach, and Mincha Skenoiz, which is a Mincha brought for Saita, those both require Hagasha and tenufa. Lastly, lechem apanim, minchas asachim, lechem apanim, which is brought every single week in the Beis HaMikdash, the showbreads are put on the shulchan, and minchas asachim, which comes along with karbanos, and tu'unais, loy hagasha v'loy tenufa, didn't require hagasha or tenufa. Now on to the next topic, Reb Shimon says, gimel minin, there are three things, that tu'unin gimel mitzvahs, and between all three of them, they require three separate mitzvahs, but it's only shtayim b'chol achas v'achas. Each one only has two of these three mitzvahs, v'shlishis ein behen, it doesn't have the third one. What is this talking about? Ve'iluhin, these are them. Zivchei shalom yachid, v'zivchei shalom tzibur, v'asham tzayra. Karban shlomim, they're brought by an individual. Karban shlomim, they're brought by the tzibur, which we know are the shnei kivsei atzeres, and an asham brought by mitzayra. So these are the three karbanos that we're referring to. So zivchei shalom yachid, individual shlomim, tu'unin smicha chaim utenufa shchuten. They require smicha when it's alive, meaning the owner leans his weight on it when it's still alive. This is before shchita, and it requires waving about of certain parts, as we just mentioned before in the Mishnah, after shchita. But it's not waved about when it's alive. Now zivchei shalom tzibur, shlomim brought by the tzibur, tu'unin tenufa chayim u'shchuten, they require tenufa both when they're alive and after shchita, but ve'ein behem smicha, there's no smicha for them, and asham mitzayra, an asham brought by mitzayra, ta'un smicha u'tenufa chay, it requires being leaned on and being waved about when it's alive, ve'ein behem tenufa shachot, but it doesn't require tenufa after shchita. So we have these three different things, but only two apply by each one of them. As the Gemara explains, the Mishnah Tanurbanan, we have a brisa that tells us, quoting a pasuk, "V'hekrav oisel asham es loyga shaman." And really, the main part of the pasuk is this next one we're about to read, "V'heinif oisam tenufa." Melamed, this teaches us she'tu'unin tenufa ke'echad, that the loyg shaman of mitzayra and the asham of the mitzayra would cry waving about together. And we know she'im heinif zeba atzma zeba atzma yata. How do we know if he ended up waving them individually that he's still yotze? Tamalim, because the pasuk says "V'hekrav oisel asham v'heinif." So it's mashma that even if he just waved one of them, that's okay. Now yachol, you might think yonif yachzer v'yonif, that if he did an individual tenufa, he should now do tenufa again together. Talmud, that's why the pasuk says tenufa v'loy tenufais. It doesn't say the word tenufais, which is multiple wavings. So if he just did one here and one there and he didn't do them together, he doesn't have to repeat it with them together. Then the pasuk tells us lifnei Hashem, that this tenufa has to be done in front of Hashem. And what do we learn from here? B'mizrach, that even if it's done towards the east in the mizbeach, that's also considered lifnei Hashem. As the Gemara of Amrit, you said, we have a different pasuk that tells us lifnei Hashem, and we actually take the word yachal out of the girsa. So what does this teach us? B'mayriv, the lifnei Hashem is really in the west, as we had said in the Mishnah, that the western part of the Mizbeach is really right in front of the Heichal, so that's lifnei Hashem. How could you say that lifnei Hashem of Loig Shemin and Mitzayra and Asham could even be in the Mizrach, in the east? So Amri, they answered, Hanimili mincha de'ikri chatos. This pasuk that we quoted of lifnei Hashem telling us it has to be done in the Mayriv in the west, that's referring to Karban Mincha, which is also called a chatos, and v'chatos to una yisoid. Chatos needs to have its blood poured on the yisoid. yisoid on the base of the mizbeach, and vekaron dremes mizrachis lehayla yisoid. The southeastern corner of the mizbeach didn't have the yisoid; it didn't have the base. The base only went basically along the western side of the mizbeach for all intents and purposes, but not by the southeast corner. And that's why mincha, which again is called a chatos, when it says lefnei Hashem, that has to be done in the same place where a chatos has to be done, which is on the western part of the mizbeach. Aval hacha, but over here with the loig shem and mitzayra lefnei Hashem karina bay. Even if it's by the southern part of the mizbeach, that's called lefnei Hashem. That's sufficient and that's fine. We can explain the Mishnah by Bikurim Kedivri Blaz Ben Yaakov. That according to Blaz Ben Yaakov, Bikurim also requires Tanufa. As the Gemara, my Rebbe Blaz Ben Yaakov, what is the Shita of Rebbe Ben Yaakov? The answer is the Tanya of a Braisa. The Pasuk says, Vlakach HaKayin, that the Kayin shall take the basket from the Yid's hand, who's bringing his Bikurim, Limit al Bikurim, Shatun and Tanufa, Div Rebbe Blaz Ben Yaakov. This teaches us, as Rebbe Blaz Ben Yaakov, that Bikurim require Tanufa. And the question is, my time is Rebbe Blaz Ben Yaakov, what's his reasoning? Meaning, where does he get that from? How does he see this from the Pasuk? And the answer is, Gomer Yad Yad Mishlamim. He learns Exer Shav Yad Yad from Shlomim. Ksiv Halcha says over here by Bikurim, V'lokach HaKayin HaTena Miyadecha. The Kayin should take the basket of Bikurim from your hand. And Ksiv Hasam, it says over there by Shlomim, Yadav Tiviena. And so we learn, Samach Alfam Beis on top, Makan Kayin. Just like over here by Bikurim, we're referring to the Kayin, Afla Alon Kayin. So too over there by Shlomim, it's referring to the Kayin. And Mal Alon Bailim, just like over there by Shlomim, the Tanufa requires the Bailim, Afkan Bailim. So too over here, the Tanufa of Bikurim requires Bailim, HaKetzad. So how is this done? Kayin Miniach Yadav The Kayin places his hands under where the owner's hands are, umeinif, and he waves it about. So that's where we see a sheet of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, the Bikurim requires Tanufa. Ask the Gemara, V'lei Menami Kediv Rebbe Yehuda, why don't we also say in our Mishnah that Rebbe Yehuda as well holds that Bikurim needs Tanufa? Titan, you have a brise, Rebbe Yehuda, and Rebbe Yehuda says, the Pasuk tells us by Bikurim, V'hi Nachtai, Zu Tanufa, this referring to waving it about. Now, Ata Aimer Zu Tanufa Yena El Hanacha, you say that's referring to Tanufa, maybe it just means Hanacha, placing it down, because the word V'hi Nachtai is from the word Hanacha, placing it down. Well, Kshuaymer, when that Pasuk also says, V'hinichoi, Harei Hanacha Amor, that's referring to placing it down. So, Mani Mekayim, V'hinachtoi, what's the Pasuk teaching us when it says, V'hinachtoi, Zu Tanufa, that's referring to Tanufa. So, we see the Rabbi Huda also holds that Bikurim needs Tanufa. Why does our Mishnah only mention Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and not Rabbi Huda? So, Marava, he answers, Ha'il Pasuk by a cause of Tchila. That's because the Pasuk begins with it first. In other words, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's drasha is learned from the first part of the Pasuk, whereas Rabbi Huda's drasha is learned from the second part of the Pasuk. So that's why we quote Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Whereas Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak Amar, he says, that's because his kayach is strong. We have a line about Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that's found throughout the Gemara that Mishnas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov kav v'naki. It's kav, which means it's a small measure. We don't necessarily have so many quotes from Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. However, whatever we do have from him is naki. It's clear. It's clean. In other words, he was a very big chacham, and that's why we're quoting him over Rabbi Yehuda. But you're right. Rabbi Yehuda also holds that Bikurim needs tenufa. We go on to explain the next part of Mishnah, which had said ve'imurish talma yachid v'chaz v'shoik shalohen echad ha'nashim v'echad ha'nashim b'Yisrael. And the question is, Maika Amar, what is being said in the Mishnah? So Rav Yehuda explains, this is what's being said, Echad Anashim v'Echad Nashim, Karban Anton Tanufa, that whether a woman or man is bringing a Karban that requires Tanufa, however, Tanufa Atzma b'Yisrael, Avalei b'Dei Nashim, the Tanufa itself is accomplished by a Yisrael, meaning by a male, but not by the woman. The woman herself doesn't do the Tanufa. And we continue discussing this, Tanar Ban, we have a Braisa, B'nei Yisrael Menifin, V'ein Avdikham Menifin, B'nei Yisrael Menifin, V'ein Hanashim Menifais. We have the word B'nei Yisrael in regards to the Pasuk of Tanufa, and so we learn from here that B'nai Yisrael do Tanufa and not non-Jews, and the B'nai Yisrael do Tanufa and not women, because that's B'nai Yisrael and not B'nai Yisrael. Now, Rabbi Yassi comments on this, Matsinu Shechalak HaKasav ben Karban Yisrael, L'Karban of the Kachavim, L'Karban Nashem, B'smicha. We find the Pasuk differentiates between the Karban of Yisrael and the Karban of a non-Jew and a woman, specifically in regards to Smicha, and the Joshua is that the Karban of a Yisrael requires Smicha, but not the Karban of a non-Jew or of a woman. So Yachal, you might think, says Rabbi Yassi, then Nachlik B'Tanufa, we should make this differentiation as well by Tanufa, that the carbon of a non-Jew or the carbon of a woman does not require Tanufa. However, loy, we don't say this, because Mali Chalik B'Smicha, Shasmicha Bailim. Just because we make a differentiation by the Smicha, that's because the Smicha is done by the owner himself. So the drasha is that a man himself does Smicha on his own carbon, as opposed to a non-Jew who's not a Yisrael, and as opposed to a woman who's not a man. So that's why Smicha doesn't apply to a non-Jew's carbon or to a woman's carbon. But Nachlik B'Tanufa, should we make this differentiation by Tanufa? Shat Tanufa b'kayhanim. Tanufa is done by the kayhanim anyway. So imkein matam loymer. If so, then why does the pasuk say b'nei Yisrael? What's that coming to exclude? It must be telling us b'nei Yisrael manifin v'ena adikav manifin b'nei Yisrael manifin v'ena nashim manifas. That b'nei Yisrael, they actually could do the Tanufa and not non-Jews, and they could also do Tanufa and not women. But that doesn't mean that the carbon of a non-Jew or that the carbon of a woman doesn't have Tanufa done to it. It just has to be done by a male, but it still has Tanufa done onto it. Oh, he's discussing Tanya Dichwe of another Brysa. Bnei Yisrael, the Pasuk says, Ainli El Bnei Yisrael. I only this refers to the carbon of Bnei Yisrael that requires tanufa, Gerim, Vavadim Shechar Minayin. How do I know the carbon of a Ger or of Eve that was freed, who for all intents and purposes is considered a Jew? He's basically a Ger as well. How do we know that their carbon also requires tanufa? Tamalimer, because the Pasuk says, Hamakriv. And the understanding of this is, Koldahu, anyone, Hamakriv, any person who brings a carbon, even if it's a Ger or Eve Meshachar, it requires tanufa. Ask the Brysa, Oyenoi Elozek Kain Hamakriv. Maybe when it says Hamakriv, that's referring to the Kayhain who is being Makriv the carbon. He does the tanufa and not the owner. And it's actually not extra to teach us that Gerim and Avadim Shucharim have tanufa done to the carbonos. The Brysa answers an Oksha Omer, and the Pasuk says, Yadav Tiviana, Hare Bailam Amr. That's referring to the owner. And so, Hakeitzad, how do we understand this? On one hand, the Pasuk is referring to the Kayhain. On the other hand, the Pasuk is referring to the owner. And the way this is done is that Kayhain Menech Yadav, Tachas Yidea Bailam Umenef. The Kayhain places his hand underneath the owner's hand, and he does tanufa, and that's what it's referring to. And for discussing this, Samach Beis Amar Alpha on top, Ketzad Oise, how does he do this practically? Menech Emurin, Al Pisas Hayad, the first Emurin, the sacrificial parts, such as the insides, those are placed on the palm, V'chaz V'shoik Alayen, and then the chest and the thigh are placed on top of them. V'chomakam Shesh Lechem, if there also happens to be Lechem with the carbon, HaLechem Elamala, the Lechem gets placed on top of that. And we just clarify, Hecha, where is this? Amar of Papa, Papa says, B'miluim, by the Miluim, by the inauguration of the Mishkan, when the carbon which had tanufa was brought, it also had lechem with it, as the Pasuk tells us very clearly, and therefore that lechem was placed on top. So that's practically how we go about doing tanufa and a specific placement of the parts of the animal. Ask the Gemara, my time, why is this? I mean, where does this come from? Even if you want to say Mishum Dechsev, because the Pasuk says, Shoika Truma Vechazea Tanufa, Al Isha Achalavim Yaviul Hanif Tanufa, that the Shoika Truma Vechazea Tanufa should be on the Isha Chalavim. And so we see from here that on the bottom we have the Chalavim, the fats, the insides, then we have the Chaza and the Shaik. Well, the problem with that is, Vaksev, we have a different pasuk tells us, as a Chalev al Chaza Yivienu. So here we see that the Chalev is on top of the Chaza, meaning the first the Chaza and the Shaik are on the hand, and then the Chalev is placed on top of that, which is the exact opposite of our pasuk. So how are we supposed to understand that these things are stacked by the Tanufa? So Rabbi, he explains, Hahu demaisile kain ubesa mitbachayim viromil. This pasuk that we just quoted is referring to the kohen who's bringing it from the Beis HaMitbachayim and putting it on the other kohen's hands. The word Beis HaMitbachayim kind of sounds like the modern day word for kitchen in Hebrew, which is mitbach, and that's actually where it comes from. And this is the area of the Azara, which is in the north, which is where the karbonos were usually flayed and cut up and the insides were removed. And so Abai is explaining that actually the second pasuk that we quoted, as Achelav al Chaza Yivienu, is talking about the first kohen. He's the one that's bringing the Chaza Shaik and Chelev to the kohen who's going to do the tanufa. So the way that he has them stacked in his hand is first chaza and shaik, then chelev on top, and then when he brings them to the kohen who's going to do the tanufa, he flips them over, or turns them over onto the kohen's hands. And that brings us to our original pasuk from the top of the amud, which we had said that the chelev is on the bottom and the chaza and shaik is on top, because it was just flipped over into his hand like that. As the Gemara Vaksiv, we have another pasuk that says vayasimu es chalavim ala chazois, that the chalavim are placed on the chazois. So we see that it's actually the other way around, that the chaz and shaik are on the bottom and the chelev is on top. And the answer is that no, hahud yavle l'kain achrina, that's referring to the kohen who did the tanufa, giving them over now to another kayin, va'azalu maktir lei, and now he goes and is makting them on the mizbeach. In other words, the kayin that did the tanufa, he flipped them over onto a third kayin's hands, who now brings them to the top of the mizbeach. Va'kamashmalan, this teaches us to be in shloisha kayhanim, that we require three kayhanim. Why three kayhanim? Mishum dechsev, b'revam hajas melech, because we have a pasuk that says, with the multitude of people, that is the glory and honor of the king, and therefore the process worked like this. We have kayin number one, who puts the chazan shaik on his hand, then the chalav on top of that, he brings them to the kohen who's going to do the tanufa, flips them over onto his hand. So now the second kohen who's doing the tanufa has the chelev on the bottom and the chazan shaik on top. And after he does the tanufa, he goes to a third kohen and flips them over onto his hand, who now has them once again in the reverse order, which is the original order. That's the chazan shaik on the bottom and the chelev on top. So here we can understand all three psukim. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to explain the Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.